You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. Big thanks to our presenting sponsor, Zondervan, a revered and reliable source for transformative and inspirational content. Support this podcast by visiting zondervan.com and find your next favorite book. Now, let's get into today's show.
Ladies and gents, Kirby Minnick, aka Kirby is a Boss here, and welcome to the Bought and Beloved podcast. I appreciate y'all's patience with this second podcast. I have actually been doing a lot of speaking at conferences and preparing my material for that. So, quick shameless plug, if you're part of a church organization, conference committee, or are just looking for speakers in general, you can ask for me specifically and contact my booking agency at booking@themiagency.com. So that's just serious inquiries only. Thought I would put that in just because I've been receiving a lot of emails, a lot of different messages on social media. So I thought, why not just plug that into my podcast as well? So anyways, I am so excited to jump into this because not only was this a hot subject that was sent to me at the Bought and Beloved email, which is bought and beloved@gmail.com, all spelled out, but this was a topic that I actually preached on this past weekend, so I'm super excited to be podcasting about this and to be recording this audio for you guys to enjoy and to access. So one specific email that I received was from a fellow Texan, her name is Zoe, and Zoe emailed me this, so I'll read her message. She said, "Hi Kirby, I found your YouTube channel a month ago or so and I fell in love. I was so excited when I found out that you started a podcast. It's amazing." Thanks, Zoe. "I was hoping you could talk about godly friendship in your next podcasts. I've really been searching and praying for a best friend who will build me up and who I can build up in God's word as well, and leave refreshed and lifted up after we've spent time together. I was wondering if you had any advice, experiences, or observations on this topic. Thank you so, so, so much. You are awesome. Love, Zoe." Well, first of all, you are so awesome, Zoe. Thank you for the encouragement and for taking the time to send in your question. This was actually a very common question, as I said earlier. It was a very common theme, topic that was brought up in my email multiple times. And I really think that this is a very important topic to touch base on, because friendships are super important and influential in our own life. So we're going to get into that today. So first of all, I just want to say that prayer is so, 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 so powerful. Emily, I loved how you mentioned that you are being prayerful about this process. Continue to do that. In high school, I only had about probably like 3 or 4 really solid Christian friends, I would say, that attended my high school. But outside of that, I was able to find good quality Christian friends in youth group. It was easier for me personally to find fellow believers in the house of the Lord at different Christian events and so on than in my school. Now, there were a lot of kids who claimed to be Christian and said that they were saved, but their lifestyle was not communicating that, you feel? And I clung to those close friends that I did have who loved Jesus, and I pursued them very intentionally. I'm still friends with them to this day, and I love them. Those were relationships that lasted outside of high school because they were built on a foundation that was deeper than just passing each other in the hallways every day. It was grounded on Christ. But coming into college, I was very, very prayerful about the whole process. I was prayerful about the school that I selected. I was prayerful throughout my selection of a major and a minor, and I was very prayerful and intentional about praying for my future roommates as well, because going into college, I didn't know anybody. I did not know anybody who was coming to my university, and I kind of just potlucked when it came to rooming in the dorms. I didn't know who they were going to set me up with, but I was excited in the process, in trusting God. And through that prayer, I believe that it did bring me into a closer proximity with trusting in the Lord to provide community for me. God was insanely faithful and so, so graceful to give me such an amazing first year roomie. Shout out to Amon. For those of y'all who have been following me forever on social media, y'all probably remember her. But even in the past years living in the on-campus apartment housing that I currently live in, it was such a random selection when it came to who I was rooming with, because I basically was just trying to find a spot to live. And it turned out to be such a blessing. And again, I was prayerful through that whole thing. But one of my best friends, Emily, who y'all probably know if you follow me on Instagram at Kirby is a Boss, let's get that shameless plug. I met up with this random girl named Ashley. Emily contacted her and we met up with her, and she agreed to sign us on with another girl named Olivia and one other girl. Now, although that fifth girl, it ended up not really working out all too well in the fall semester, when it came springtime, we met another random girl named Liz, who rushed my sorority, and now she's literally one of my best friends. She is incredible. So yeah. God was super faithful to bring me a solid girl gang in college. Liz, Emily, Ashley, Olivia. And it wasn't until college that I found that solid, consistent community by living with these girls. I mean, we faithfully pursued Christ together. We still do. And I can honestly say that these girls, I'm going to cherish them and pursue them forever, because good friends like them are very hard to come by. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I talked about friendships this past weekend at the Shine Girls Conference in San Antonio, and I wanted to bring that up again here in this week's podcast. So, Emily, I encourage you to be prayerful about your friend groups, to get plugged into Christian community within a healthy church, and to pursue the people there, or even begin cultivating that community within your school. I really got involved with starting up a Bible study at my high school. There was a prayer group and we would meet before school and pray over the school. I just really sought out like-minded community when it came to faith and tried to integrate that and make a space where people could come together and have fellowship. But I wanted to talk about the characteristics of godly community in today's podcasts and friendships and things like that, because, man, it is so valuable and so important. And I think that many of us have heard the phrase that you become like your five closest friends, but I know that to be true. Community has a greater impact on you than you think. Who you surround yourself with has a greater impact on your decisions, your values, your worldview, and your view of self, more so than you think. So not only do I want you to keep these 6 points in mind, I have 6 points for you guys. It's an acronym. It's actually an acronym. So it's going to be a little fun today. But I want you to keep these things in mind when looking for community and praying for community and seeking community. But I also want you to consider these things within the community that you already have, the friend groups you already have. And also as a reminder for yourself of the standard that we are meant to live up to as believers. So the acronym that I have for you guys today is FRIEND, F-R-I-E-N-D. And I want you guys to listen to this acronym, because this is the quality kind of community that you are called to have surrounding you. And this is the standard which we should be living up to as well in our friendships. So I'll tell you guys what the acronym is first, and then I'll dive into explaining them. So F stands for fights for you and alongside you. R stands for reliable and trustworthy in word, character, and deed. I stands for identifies the sin that's killing you. E stands for edifies you with truth. N stands for never-ending love. And D stands for dependent on God alone. So let's dive into this. So the first letter that we see is F. And F stands for fights for you and alongside you. So good godly community needs to be present. They need to be actively fighting for you to win against the battle against the kingdom of darkness. And they need to be fighting alongside you. They need to be fighting for you in prayer. They need to be interceding on your behalf in order that you will have the victory against the temptations, against the world, against the flesh, against the enemy, against those things. Because we have been called to be more than conquerors, right? But we see great examples of friends who fight for one another, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So one place that we see this in the Old Testament specifically is in Exodus 17, verses 9 through 14. So I'll read it for us. I would just give you guys like the whole explanation, but it kind of explains itself. So I'm going to read it for you, starting in verse 9. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, so his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in the book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Man, how cool is that story? So we see here that Amalek dared to wage war against God's people, the people of Israel. And Moses was told that as long as he holds the rod, the staff of God above his head, that they, Israel, will prevail against Amalek in this battle that's taking place. But as Moses lowers his hands, that Amalek and his people will prevail against the people. Now, Moses knows this. He's up there with his hands. He's fighting to keep it up. But Aaron and Hur see that Moses is beginning to show some weakness, that his own strength, he can't rely on that himself. So what do Aaron and Hur do? They come in on either side of him and they help him hold up that staff. They come in, they intercede, they fight alongside him so that Israel, God's people, would prevail. We also see in James 5:16 that it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So we see here that not only is it important that we come in beside each other and we hold each other up and we lift each other up in order that the things of God may play out, that we may prevail against the kingdom of darkness, but we are called to confess our sins, to go to one another and to bring these things to the light so that we can fight for one another, so that we can intercede. Because why? The prayers of a righteous person has great power in its working. Our prayers have power. Our prayers are filled with words of authority. We can speak life and speak light into a person and over a person and into their situation where they're struggling, where they need help, where they need that uplifting, where they need that encouragement. We even see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, as Paul is writing to Timothy, that he says, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day." We see here that Paul is so intentional about praying for Timothy night and day. That is the kind of friendship that we need to have. That is the kind of community we need to be surrounding ourselves with. That is the kind of friend that we need to be. Friends fight for each other in prayer. They wage war with you in accountability. They stand up for you in the sight of the enemy. They go before you in prayer. They come beside you in the war. They follow behind you as you bring them into your battles and you show them the dark parts so that light can be spoken into those areas. Get you a friend that will hold up your arms as you step out in fighting the kingdom of darkness, because they have the same values as you in walking in authority, in walking in the light and advancing the kingdom of God. So get you a friend, get you community that fights for you in prayer and fights alongside you in the battles. That is what F stands for. Now R stands for reliable and trustworthy. Man, we need not just good friends, but godly friends that are there for us, that don't make empty promises, that keep their yeses, that uphold their vows to us, that are honest, that don't deceive us behind our back. They remain true to who they are with you and around others. They're not fake. They're reliable. They're trustworthy. They're real. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. To ruin, y'all. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you have unreliable friends, it says it right here in Proverbs. That's going to lead you to ruin. I don't care if they are off the path of God by 20,000 degrees or by 1 degree. As you continue walking in that direction, it will lead you astray. That is the fact. Whether they're intentionally doing it or unintentionally, whether you know it or whether you don't realize it, this is the fact. This is the truth. Unreliable friends, you will soon come to ruin. You might not see it right now, but eventually it'll rub off on your life. And we don't want that, my friends. We don't want that. We want friends who stick closer than a brother. We want friends that are binded by us and that are linked by us because we have all been adopted by the Father. We are all brothers and sisters by the blood of Christ. We might not be related by blood, but we are now related by the blood, you see? Now in John 15:13, it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. A reliable and trustworthy friend is willing to sacrifice for you because they love you. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Christ calls us to what? To love God and to love other people as we love ourselves. And we're able to do those things as we carry each other's burdens. We're able to fulfill those things. Your friends, they need to have your back. You need to be able to trust them with your burdens because God gave us community. It is a gift in order that we can feel loved, in order that we can be uplifted. Community is meant to encourage us, to keep us accountable. Now, many of us will sometimes see accountability as an attack, but my friends, if it is rooted and grounded in love, then it's not an attack. It's to help you. It's to get you into the light. We see here from scripture alone that unreliable friends end up in ruin and not righteousness. A reliable friend will willingly lay down their life for you because they love you, because they have vowed to be there for you. They will sacrifice time. They will sacrifice energy. Sometimes a really good friend will sacrifice finances. They might pay for your Panera if they know that you're struggling. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying to put your full faith and your full hope in your friends, because they're human. They're gonna mess up. Your hope needs to be in Jesus, but you need to surround yourself with people that aren't gonna let you down. You need to surround yourself with people that are reliable, that when you are struggling, you can say, my friend, I am struggling, and they will walk alongside you, just as the first point said. They will come alongside you, and they will fight with you, and they will intercede on their own time in the secret place, in the quiet place, in that place where it's just them and God, and they will fight for you, and they will intercede for you. You need godly community that is worthy of your trust and the vulnerable parts of you. I know it's easy for us to surround ourselves with people and to only show people the surface level stuff, the stuff that looks good, the Instagram worthy kind of stuff, but we need friends that we can invite into our messy homes, into our chaos, and they will love us and accept us. But more on that in a bit. So the third thing, it goes F-R-I. So the I in friend stands for identifies the sin that's killing you. Y'all, it is not easy to be called out on the areas of your life where sin is apparent. But when you have godly community surrounding you, when you have good friends, they will check your heart in order to guard your heart. They will call you out in order that you can be called out from that darkness and brought into light. That is what a good friend does. That's what a godly friend and godly community should do. Now, I'm not saying that they need to drag you up on stage and be like, tapping the mic saying, okay, everyone, so Sally over here is sleeping with her boyfriend. So Sally, don't do that. No, I'm not saying that. That is what I mean when I say, you know, identify the sin that's killing you. They'll approach you in kindness and in truth and in accountability. And they will sit down with you and they will tell you what it is that's killing you because they love you. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Accountability, that can lead you to wisdom. If you have friends that are speaking truth over you and are calling out the darkness from within you, then that will lead you to wisdom because hopefully they are speaking the truth of God over you, and that they are speaking words of truth and life over you, and from that derives wisdom from God. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Oof, that is a good verse. When your God-fearing friends are calling you out of your sin, sometimes it feels like wounds. It hurts. It can sting you when your friend is saying, you have been gossiping a lot recently. Or my friend, you've been spending way too much time with that guy recently and you're acting a lot different. I know that you're slipping into stuff. There's many situations and circumstances where we fall into sin. But we need to allow our friends to be able to call out those things in us so that we can be pushed closer to God. Because an enemy is just going to kiss it over. They're just going to be like, oh, it's fine. Oh, it's validated. Oh, it's nothing. But a good friend will call out the seed of sin in order that it doesn't take root and lead you to ruin. Give your God-fearing friends the permission to call out those things in you that aren't pushing you closer to God. My friends and I, we are not afraid to call each other out because we know that it's always out of a place of love and sincerity towards the other person's physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional well-being. I'm not afraid to point it out to you, the thing that's killing you, in a loving and firm way in order that Satan doesn't get a grip on you, because I care about you far too much. I know your value, I know your worth, I know your identity, and I will call you out on those things that are trying to compromise that. It is vital that your friends are trustworthy and have some sort of biblical foundation so that they can have permission to call you out when things that are happening in your life aren't glorifying the Lord. Now, those are tough conversations to have, but you need to know that it is coming out of their best interest for you and because they care about the warfare that's really taking place, because spiritual warfare is real. We have an amazing sponsor, and it is called Night in Boxes. Now, you might be wondering, what is Night in Boxes? Night in Boxes is all about creating memorable date nights from the comfort of your home. The Night in Boxes team wants to give couples and families an amazing experience that can create lasting memories. And they even have a way to add on a faith option to help deepen your relationship with God, which I think is so awesome, so vital, so important. And they're partnering with us to give away two free boxes if you set up a date night inbox or a kids night inbox for the 6 month or 12 month subscription. So trust me, it's going to be worth it. Super duper awesome. But all you need to do is go to datenightinbox.com and use the code CONVERGE at checkout to access the $79 discount when you set up for a 6 or 12 month subscription. Gain a fresh way to date your significant other. Shout out to datenightinbox.com. Go check them out. Use that promo code CONVERGE and date in a creative way with Date Night Inbox.
Have you ever felt like everyone was depending on you? Family, friends, coworkers, and everyone in between? That was the exhaustion that Lisa was living in while trying to be the perfect wife, mother, and businesswoman. When Lisa Leonard said her marriage vows, she was determined to be the best wife she could be. When her first son was born with a severe disability, she promised herself she would always be the mother he needed. When she began her jewelry business, Lisa committed to giving it her all. But she knew it wasn't working. She wanted to change things, but how? So she kept going, kept pushing, kept trying to prove she could do it all. Until one evening, in tears and desperation, Lisa realized that she could no longer be everything to everyone. Somewhere along the way, she'd lost herself. In her new book, Brave Love, released from our friends at Zondervan, Lisa shares her story of finding truth and wholeness in the midst of life's competing demands. Brave Love is about what it means to be human, how it feels to be broken and afraid, and what happens when we dare to love deeply. Join Lisa on a journey where you will discover you are worthy and lovable just as you are. Available everywhere you buy books. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, the E in friends stands for edifies you with truth. Your friends should use their words to speak life over you, to encourage you, to uplift you, and to declare the truth of God over you. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Proverbs 12:26 says, "The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray." We just covered this, y'all, that unreliable friends lead you to ruin. Wicked friends will lead you astray. Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Proverbs 16:24, this is a good one. "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Amen. Our words, pleasant words, words that derive from the word of God, they're sweet to the soul, they're comforting, they're true, they're nurturing, but they're also healing to the bones. They give us strength, they give us confidence. A good friend, a godly friend, will not only use their words to call out the darkness from within you, but they will use their words to speak light into you. The words they speak are words of wisdom, which derive from knowing God, being rooted in truth themselves, and it should be an outpour and an overflow of love, of grace, of encouragement, of joy, and of wisdom. They shouldn't be using their tongue to gossip about other people or to tear other people apart, but rather they allow God to use their mouths as a vessel to direct people back to Him and to fill other people with confidence in who they were created to be. Words carry the power of life and death, and a good friend will speak real life into you, real light over you, and that comes from knowing God and His Word. Now, the N in friends stands for never-ending love. I guess a better way to word this would be unconditional love, but there's no you in friends, so never-ending love. You need godly community who loves you unconditionally, who will listen to you, who are there for you in the pain, in the brokenness, who are forgiving, patient, slow to anger. They accept you for who you are because they know your identity is in Christ. They know that you are His beloved. They know that Christ died on the cross for you just as much as He died on the cross for them and their brokenness. Now, I'm not saying that love accepts sin and kisses over sin. That's what an enemy does. A good friend will call out the sin from within you, so know that that derives out of love. But loving community will also accept you and embrace you in your brokenness, and they will walk alongside you and help you identify the problem areas so that you can be empowered and fight and walk in your identity, and they will intercede on your behalf through prayer as well. Colossians 3:12-14 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." Now again, we are by no means perfect people, but a good friend will love you genuinely. The kind of love that God has for us is agape love. It's an unconditional, sacrificial love that seeks nothing in return. We are made in the image of God, and that is the love that we should aspire to not only receive from the Lord, which we already do because He already loves us unconditionally, but that is the kind of love that we need to pour out on other people. We live in such a conditional world, and we need to drop that when it comes to loving the body of Christ. We need to love people genuinely. You need to surround yourself with community that isn't manipulating you by giving you false attention, that aren't guilting you into earning their approval. You need people that care about your heart, that ask you, "How are you?" And they mean it. They don't mind coming into your messy home, your chaotic life, and they accept you at face value. They see the brokenness. They see the shattered pieces of you. They see the parts of you that you don't want people to see, and they love you. Why? Because Christ first loved us, and they see the value in you as a daughter of the King, as a son of the King. They see you as a sister. They see you as a brother. Because as I said earlier, you might not be related by blood, but they know that you're binded by the blood. And that is beautiful, that we can have that level of fellowship and intimacy by Jesus alone and by his love. It is because of his love we get the opportunity to love other people and bring them into his love. Now, the last letter of the acronym FRIEND is D. And D stands for dependent on God alone. Now, you might be wondering, Kirby, how is someone's relationship with Jesus important to my relationship with them? Like, how does that relate? Like, how is that important? It is very important, trust me. Because if they're dependent on God alone, then they're walking in wisdom. Then they are relying on his word and truth. They are pursuing a sanctified life, which leads to holiness. They don't just rely on a podcast or a sermon to fill their spiritual fuel tank. No, they're seeking after God themselves. They're pursuing him in the secret place. They're running the race with endurance. They're getting to know him through his word, and they have a genuine walk and journey with God. And the way that they pursue God, again, as I said earlier, it's an overflow, it's an outpour of how they're able to relate and love other people. You can be friends with people who say that they're Christian, but I'm going to ask you, how many of your friends are spiritually alive today? How many of your friends are actually thriving in their relationship with God? How many of your friends are actually genuinely pursuing a relationship with God and not just crossing it off their Christian checklist that, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins, I believe that, that's enough. No, it doesn't stop there. It's a relationship that we pursue. Sanctification is a journey. It's a continuation. As Christians, we are called to live holy lives. The term holy, it means sacred. It means set apart from the profane and the worldly ways to what is pure instead. Like your friends, they might say they believe in God, but are they really living a life of transparent faith and dependency on God? Like, are their actions of holiness apparent? Like, can I look at their life and see sanctification? Now, no, their faith is not based in their works, but works reveal the genuineness of our faith. Like, your body might be in a pew on a Sunday, but where is your heart the other 6 days? Like, your friends might be showing up to youth group, but are they actually pursuing God on the weekends? Are they genuinely pursuing Jesus Monday at 4 p.m.? Are they genuinely pursuing God on a Friday evening when their ex-boyfriend texts them asking them to come over and hang out because his parents aren't home? Like, are they genuinely putting Christ first and making him the Lord of their life? And are you doing that too? I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but I'm just saying, if the Spirit's convicting you, that's the Spirit's job. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Psalm 119:2 says, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart." The people you surround yourself with, you become. And if your time is spent with people who love God and fear God, I pray in the name of Jesus that it impacts you, that it influences you. If you're spending time around fake friends, your heart's just going to end up broken. Your pursuit of people, it's going to be messed up. And your views of God, man, it can be skewed. Now, real quick, I want to highlight two friendships that we see in the Bible. The first one being between David and Jonathan. Now, y'all know who David is in the Bible, right? He's like literally my biblical man crush, if you will, because like David's awesome, even though he was human and he messed up too. We all did. But David has an amazing friend in scripture by the name of Jonathan. So you see, David was anointed to be king after Saul, who happened to be Jonathan's dad. But Saul was overcome by this desire to kill David. He was overcome with this evil and this wicked desire. And all throughout 1 Samuel, we see these crazy attempts at Saul going after David to kill him. And yet, Saul's son, Jonathan, remains a faithful friend to David. Now, I don't have enough time to get into the specific passage, but if you read through 1 Samuel for yourself, you will see how Jonathan was a faithful friend to David. He cared about his well-being. They pursued after God individually, and that affected their relationship together. They loved each other unconditionally and genuinely, and whenever adversity hit, they remained loyal to one another, and they acted out in wisdom in order to protect each other. Now, Jonathan was willing to lay his life down for David when his father, King Saul, was out to kill David. It even says in scripture that Jonathan loved David with his soul. He cared for him selflessly and was willing to lay down his own life for him. He trusted David. He looked out for David. You can see that in 1 Samuel 18, 1 Samuel 20. Like, it's all throughout 1 Samuel. Jonathan stood up against David's enemies, i.e. his dad, like, which is so hard to do. Jonathan and David, their friendship was a gift from God to one another. And that is a friendship that we need to be striving for. But another friendship I want to contrast is the relationship between Jesus and Judas. Now, I'm assuming many of you have heard of Judas Iscariot in the Bible. He was one of the 12 disciples who followed Jesus, but Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus. Judas was a part of Jesus' close-knit group of friends, but Judas was not a true friend to Jesus in the end, as we see. When Jesus was doing miraculous things and having divine appointments, Judas would judge the situation, and he wasn't uplifting people who were surrendered before him, such as the woman with perfume. Judas was also known to be a thief, even amongst the disciples, as John 12:6 states. You see, Judas was part of Jesus' squad for like 3 years. He was in the boat when Jesus calmed the storm twice. He was there when Jesus brought the little girl back to life and when he healed the woman with blood. He was there when Jesus fed the 5,000. Like, when you would look at Judas, you would probably first and foremost associate him with being, oh, friend of Jesus, like he's part of the squad. But Judas's heart quickly turned against Jesus. Jesus was a loyal and loving friend, but amidst the unconditional and selfless love of Christ, Judas prevailed in betraying him out of selfish and greedy gain. He had no trouble in second-guessing or even entertaining the idea of betraying Jesus. He went the extra mile to give Jesus a kiss on the cheek the moment that Jesus was arrested. Judas was an unfaithful friend who put up a front in hopes that he would get what he wanted, a triumphant Messiah who would destroy the Roman Empire of the time. We don't even see a specific scripture of him repenting after Jesus was nailed to the cross. So I want you to take those two relationships in mind and ask yourself, do I want a squad that is full of people like Judas or a squad that is full of people like Jonathan? Many of you guys might be in friendships where y'all are surrounded by more Judases than Jonathans. Or maybe you need to start praying for God to bring more Jonathans into your life. Or maybe you are part of a squad of Jonathans and you need to cherish that and pursue that and love them in the way that a friend should. God may be using you in the lives of those around you, and maybe he doesn't want you to cut ties with specific people. I mean, Jesus loved the sinners. Jesus loved the broken people. I'm not saying to stop doing that. I'm not saying to stop pursuing people that don't know Jesus. We need to be loving those people, but you also need godly community pouring into you and loving you like real friends should. Community is essential and vital. So be prayerful. Seek after it. Seek those groups that you know are solid and get to know those people. And maybe even start it up, like I was saying in reference to Emily's question earlier, to start those movements and those organizations where people can gather together and find fellowship and community. But my friends, don't give up the blessing of Christ-centered community for the comfort of convenience. Don't settle for anything less. Pursue people with a genuine passion and a genuine love the way that a friend should. And be prayerful about it. Be prayerful about your friend groups. Be watchful in that and assess where it is that you are and where it is that you want to be. As believers, we're called to live a sanctified and holy life, and we need to be surrounded and linking arms with people who are running the same race as us. And also pouring into the lives of those who need to hop on the chain gang and start linking up and running with us towards Christ as well. So, Emily, I really hope that this was an encouraging message to you and to all of you who sent messages about godly friendships, community, what that should look like, how you can be a better godly community and friend to others. I really hope that this podcast helped. I really love you guys. I love y'all so stinking much. I'm so glad that we are continuing in this with this awesome podcast. Before we sign off, I just want to remind you guys to subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. Rate it 5 stars. You can swipe up and you can leave a comment and just leave some encouraging words so we can get this gospel message out there. Also, if you have a question, or whether it be a specific thing that you're going through, or if it's something related to the Bible, as long as I can speak words of life and light over it, feel free to email it to botandbeloved@gmail.com. It's all spelled out, A-N-D, botandbeloved@gmail.com. And I hope to answer more of your questions and to speak life into you guys. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram @KirbyIsABoss and Twitter as well. And subscribe to my YouTube channel too, because it's always a party on there as well. Basically all my social media is KirbyIsABoss. So you'll find me there. I love you guys so, so much. Thanks for tuning into the Bought and Beloved podcast. Until next time, my name is Kirby Minnick, and thank you so much for tuning in.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com. We also thought you might enjoy another Converge Network podcast called The Invitation with Luke Lazon. On The Invitation, Luke talks about the invitations we receive in life and how they can be opportunities to respond to something that will change the trajectory of our lives. Search for The Invitation with Luke Lazon in your favorite podcasting app.